Wednesday, October 26, 2022. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. You are now halfway through that work week, halfway through that school week. I hope your week is going well. Hope you, your family, your friends, everyone is staying strong and staying healthy right now. And yes, we are back here at The Dose. After taking a week off, we took a short fall break. But I'm telling you this right now, we took a short break and we actually stayed in state. We didn't go anywhere crazy. We just stayed in state, went up north a little bit, spent time in the state of Colorado. And I'm telling you, it is fully fall here in the Centennial State. And I'm telling you this, it couldn't be more perfect right now. Highs in the day are in the 70s. Lows maybe drop down in the 50s, maybe the 40s at night. The leaves, they are turning all sorts of color. You cannot beat fall in my home state of Colorado. It is absolutely perfect. It is postcard beautiful here in Colorado right now. Think about this. You've got clear, crisp blue skies. The trees are red and yellow and gold and orange. The pot smoke is pumpkin spice flavored. It's a potpourri, really. And I'm telling you right now, it is truly wonderful. But, you know, we spent a little time in Colorado, traveled around a little bit, went and looked around at some beautiful parts in our state, and we are back. And we are excited to be back today on The Daily Dose and to talk a little bit of sports with you. Got a number of things to get to this week on The Dose. You know, one of the biggest stories coming out this week over the past week in the world of sports was in the NFL, where the San Francisco 49ers, hey, they pushed their chips into the middle of the table and they made a big move. They went out and made a trade last week with the Carolina Panthers for running back Christian McCaffrey. The Niners gave Carolina their second, their third, their fourth round picks in this year's 2023 draft, plus a fifth rounder in next year's draft. And I know that you've been hearing about it on sports talk everywhere. Everyone's already declared the winner and the loser of this trade. But as usual, both teams kind of won and both teams kind of lost. The Niners are looking around at the landscape in the NFC, and they're thinking, hey, we can make a run here. We know that head coach Kyle Shanahan, he's done some big things with running backs. And running backs, I might add, that were nowhere near as talented as what Christian McCaffrey is. Then again, McCaffrey is a tad fragile. We know he could get hurt like stepping out of the shower this morning. So it is a gamble. They gave up a lot to get him. On the other side, the NFC is wide open. They could make a run. They could be the team in the NFC right now if they can figure a few things out. And then you have the Carolina Panthers, who are kind of going rebuild fire sale. They think they can go rebuild their team through the NFL draft. We'll see. I mean, that always sounds good. But then you actually have to go out and produce and get good picks. We know teams don't always do that. But, I mean, they're not winning anything anyways. So, is it a home run for the 49ers? No, not even close. Is it a home run for the Carolina Panthers? Again, no. But is it a bad deal for either side? Probably not. It's just that San Francisco is definitely taking the bigger risk. Because going and getting a 180-pound running back that does have a big history of injuries, that might not be the path to success that you think it is. Here, though, is the good news for the 49ers and their fans. The good news is that Christian McCaffrey has been playing with Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. So going to San Francisco and playing with Jimmy Garoppolo, yeah, it's really not going to be much of an adjustment on his part at all. For the record, the Niners went out this past Sunday and got beat by the Kansas City Chiefs at home 44-23. So they still have a little bit of work today. Hey, before we jump in, I just want to remind you, be sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com, where we have new articles going up every week. You might have seen this week, I had a little article about the Denver Broncos in general and about Russell Wilson and some of the things that have been going on here in the Mile High City. I release a new article on Tuesdays. Young Jimmy will release articles on Thursdays. But you know, we have links to the podcast. We have links to our YouTube videos. And yes, we have links to the Daily Dose gear. Like we talked about, fall is in the air here in the USA. You may need a new sweatshirt. You may need a new coffee mug or a new hoodie. You might want to go over to Daily Dose Sports and find links to our Daily Dose gear, because we can get you some very, very good looking gear, and we can get it in whatever color that you'd prefer. So be sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every week and checking out what is going on over there, because we have new things going up every week. Hey, today on the show, we actually have a little more news to discuss in the NFL. The World Series is now set. Plus, we have a college football coach who says he's being biased against unfairly. But then, this week on The Dose, we will be previewing the NBA season that already got started last week. How is it possible that the NBA is already back? I don't know. But it's back, and we're going to have a long, long season of NBA games. We are going to let you know what to expect from that odd league this year. And then, it is our final show before Halloween night, with the 31st, of course, being next Monday. So we just might have a Halloween-flavored Daily Dose Top 5 for you today. If you need a little help planning that Halloween costume, trust me on this, you are in good luck today. But first off, staying in the NFL, let me ask you a question. Have we ever seen NFL quarterbacks that are kind of aging just all fall off the cliff at the same time like we have this year? I mean, we saw like Ben Roethlisberger last year getting worse, getting worse. We saw Peyton Manning a few years ago getting worse, getting worse. This year, we've got Russell Wilson, who has looked awful with my Broncos, but it hasn't just been him. Did you see Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady on Sunday? And the craziest part about the whole thing, Tom Brady might have looked the worst. Rodgers, with the Packers, went 23 of 35, but he had just 194 yards. His Green Bay Packers lost to the Washington Commanders 23-21. But we know, Aaron doesn't have that many weapons. Tom Brady does, though. Yes, his offensive line is bad, but he has some very good receivers to throw to. But in his game, Brady went 32 of 49 for 290 yards. He had zero touchdowns. And the Buccaneers went 2 of 12 on third down. They failed to score a touchdown in a 21-3 loss to the Carolina Panthers. You know, the team that has basically decided to tank, hold a fire sale, trade away Christian McCaffrey. Now, remember last week when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers? And we looked at it and we all kind of thought the same thing. We said, well, that was just kind of fluky, right? Well, maybe not. Maybe it's not fluky at all. Maybe Tampa Bay isn't very good, and maybe Brady is struggling a little bit. But I want you to think about something. And it's something, as sports fans, we don't like to hear. Oh, but it's absolutely true. Here's the thing. Quarterbacks don't actually deserve all of the credit that they get in this game of American football. I mean, we give them so much credit. Think about Tom Brady. Oh, put Tom Brady on the worst team in the league and he'd lead him to a Super Bowl win. No, he wouldn't. That's not how this works. And I know when he left New England, we were so quick to say, oh, Belichick's an idiot. It was all Tom Brady. Well, look at the situation now. Brady doesn't look so hot. Here's the thing about football that we tend to forget. We give our quarterbacks too much credit and we give them too much blame. Did they suddenly just forget how to play? No, they didn't. And I don't even want to hear the, well, he's just too old now. He just looks more fragile. He's just too feeble now. He's never been a great athlete. Ever. Like, going back to when he was 19, 20, he wasn't a great athlete. But that is how much it matters. What kind of surrounding cast you have. Again, Brady and Rodgers and Wilson and Roethlisberger before him and Peyton before him, they get too much credit and too much blame. They are way more dependent upon the surrounding cast around them than we ever think. I don't think these guys just forgot how to play. I think their teams around them are pretty bad. And the bottom line is, in pro football, American pro football, it takes 22 guys. And if you don't have 22 guys, you end up looking like this. Brady doesn't have much help on his offensive line. Rodgers doesn't have much in the way of receivers. Russell Wilson doesn't have much in the way of either, or a coaching staff. It takes everything to win in this league. And right now, we're seeing some very, very good quarterbacks without some of those aspects. And we're all of a sudden thinking they're idiots. Trust me, they're not. Moving over to the world of Major League Baseball, the 2022 Major League Baseball World Series is now set. The Philadelphia Phillies shocked everyone by beating the San Diego Padres in the National League Championship Series when the Padres had really shocked everyone by beating the heavily favored Los Angeles Dodgers in the National League Divisional Series. The Phillies, I mean, we talked about it here. They were one of those teams that we looked at like, how did they even qualify for the playoffs? Like, how did they even get in? But Kyle Schwarber and Bryce Harper were just monsters. They're playing so well right now. The Phillies will be facing the Houston Astros, who have blown through the postseason. They swept the Seattle Mariners, and they swept the New York Yankees. In fact, Houston has yet to lose a game in these playoffs. Game one will be Friday in Houston. And honestly, I mean, I think Philly will be scrappy. But I mean, come on. The Astros are going to win this going away, aren't they? But I do want to watch this. I do want to watch Philadelphia fans. Because you know those fans in Philly. We know how those Philly fans kind of roll. They have no chill when it comes to opponents. They have no chill when it comes to Santa Claus. So what are they going to do with the Houston Astros? I have a feeling they're going to give the Astros all the trash can chants they can. And isn't it kind of wild, by the way, that like the national media isn't bringing up anything about the Astros cheating anymore? It's kind of weird, isn't it? Like they just stopped. Like there was just a cease and desist order. Hey, no more bringing that stuff up. That's old. That's not that old. That's a couple years old that we caught the Astros blatantly cheating. We all knew they were cheating. They caught them. They found it. And now the national media is like, the what? The cheating. Oh, gosh, that was so long ago. We totally forgot about that. Did you? Or are you being directed by Major League Baseball to forget about those things? Because that seems a little weird. And we've seen leagues kind of direct the media, hey, why don't you go ahead and not cover this? I mean, it's like when Tim Donaghy was fixing games, or when Tom Brady was deflating footballs, or when Kobe Bryant was, well, let's just say he was kicking it with hotel staff in Colorado. It isn't weird that these guys do it. It isn't weird that the leagues tell the media to not cover it. Hey, shut up about that. Stop bringing that stuff up. We don't want you to talk about that. What is weird is that the media does shut up. That's when it gets weird to me. Because the media could keep talking about it and saying, hey, wait a minute. We did just see Houston cheating, right? We're sure they're not cheating now, right? They didn't vacate anything. They didn't even get suspended. They didn't get any kind of punishment whatsoever. Really? Nothing? So again, it's not weird that teams cheat. It's not weird that players cheat. It is weird that the media just acts like it didn't exist and we're just supposed to go along with the farce. I guess that's kind of how the media works in this country now anyway, though, isn't it? That stuff just doesn't even exist anymore. It's completely gone away. And by the way, how dare you even bring it up? That's also kind of odd. Some depressing news coming out this week in the world of college basketball. And I know we haven't dove into college basketball just yet. Never fear. we will get there eventually. But did you see this week that the Jim Nance era at the NCAA men's basketball tournament is actually coming to an end? Jim Nance has been the voice of the basketball tournament for 3 decades now. But he announced this week that 2023 is going to be his last year broadcasting March Madness. Says he wants to spend more time with his kids. Now, Nance won't do the college basketball stuff. He says he will continue to be CBS's lead on golf coverage, and he will still call NFL games alongside broadcast partner Tony Romo. Nance did, however, mention that he actually still wants to be involved with handing out the trophy. He just doesn't actually want to work those games on a day-to-day level like he has been. CBS says that Ian Eagle will be taking over for Nance. Eagle has done a little work in the booth. So when you hear the voice, it probably won't sound completely foreign to you. And yet, I mean, it's not Jim Nance. There's just a different feel with some of these broadcasters. Jim Nance will be missed in college hoops. And, you know, I hate to look at things like this. But is it just me? Or is everyone kind of leaving college basketball like rats trying to get off a sinking ship? And maybe it's just this era. Maybe we were just due for a lot of people to start departing. It's just kind of that generation right now. But I mean, you think about it. Mike Krzyzewski. Now we have Jim Nance. Jay Wright. Roy Williams. Lon Kruger. There's a lot of people leaving college hoops right now. And maybe that's just a coincidence. Or maybe worse news, they don't like the direction all this is going in college basketball. And they're trying to get out now while they can. I don't know. But I am starting to notice that trend. And it's starting to concern me at least a little bit. Finishing up in college football, where it seems like the top 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 programs, they're starting to separate themselves from the pack. I mean, think about it. Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, they look like the top 3 right now. And then you have Alabama, you have Tennessee, Michigan, TCU is undefeated. They haven't really beaten much, but they are undefeated. USC, they're probably the top contenders after that. We will see how this next month or so goes. But one team that did get a huge win on Saturday were the LSU Tigers, who at 6-2 with losses to Florida State and Tennessee, got a huge win this past Saturday over number 7 and undefeated Ole Miss. They beat them 45-20. That's a big win for Brian Kelly and the LSU Tigers, who seem like they're kind of figuring some things out. However, maybe not, because that win comes on the heels of head coach Brian Kelly saying that SEC officials have been giving him poor calls. Why? Because he's not a Southerner.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm actually not joking. Last week, after LSU's win over the Florida Gators, where they won pretty easily, Kelly said there were at least 5 instances when play was stopped for instant replay reviews. And Kelly said last week his biggest concern was that those reviews were just slowing the game down. Okay, well, I'd agree with him. A lot of the reviews are stupid. We don't need a lot of them. Some of them you could probably just go by without. I get it. But then Kelly went a little bit further, because then he had his weekly radio show and he kind of had time to think about the situation. And instead of backing up and saying, you know what, maybe I shouldn't have said that, he doubled down. Kelly had this to say: 10 times out of 10 times, the call stands on the field. Unless it's an LSU call, right? Or is it just me? I just don't think the officials like the guy from up north. Wait a minute. So Brian Kelly is saying that these officials are blatantly cheating. They're messing with the integrity of the game because he's one of those consarn Yankees?
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family.
Here's my question. And again, I hate to break it down to something that's simple, but I have to ask this question, don't I? How can the refs even tell he's not a Southerner? I don't understand. Have you heard Brian Kelly's accent?
I'm here with my family.
How do they know where he's from? He clearly nailed that accent in that rally. I clearly thought he was a Southerner. You mean to tell me Brian Kelly didn't just crawl out of the swamp itself? I guess not. He tried to fool us with his accent, but apparently these SEC officials have cracked his code. And that, my friends, is both surprising and a little disturbing. Who knew these refs could figure something out so deep and intelligent like that? Okay, coming back. We are in the middle of the NFL and college football seasons. The World Series is getting started, but so is the NBA season. So who are the teams to watch this year? Which teams will probably end up disappointing us? And who is going to be going all the way to the NBA Finals? We're going to get to our 2022 NBA preview when we get back. So I know that college football is rolling. The NFL is rolling. The World Series is now getting going. But the 2022-2023 NBA season got started last week. And what is it we can really expect in the NBA this year? We know a lot of times in the NBA, it is before the season even starts. We already know it is between this team and this team. They're going to win. That's all there is to it. That's not quite the case this year. Going to be very interesting to see. There are probably four, five, six teams that could win it all. Maybe more than that. Maybe up to seven or eight. I think things would really have to break right to get to seven or eight. But there are a couple teams out there that could win it all. But what are some of the biggest storylines to watch this year in the NBA? And the NBA has already admitted this storyline, whether they want to or not. But tanking is a problem in the NBA. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, in recent comments, addressed some possible solutions for tanking in the league, while noting that he does understand why teams would do it if they could go get like that once in a generation type player. But he also said it is a serious issue and that it has sparked hundreds of meetings. Well, during those meetings, one employee asked Adam Silver about the problem of tanking, a theme that is widely expected to dominate the league this year. Why? Because there is a young player coming to the NBA draft next year in 7'4" French phenom, Victor Wembanyama. And they are saying V-Dub could totally alter your franchise if you somehow get him. They expect him to be the number one pick in the 2023 draft. But here's what Silver said when asked about tanking. He said, "We will put teams on notice. We're going to be paying particular attention to this issue this year." Then he had this to say. Speaking of a concept in European soccer, Silver told employees that the NBA has considered relegation as a potential solution to ensure the worst performing teams are incentivized to compete. Now, he did say relegation would be a little bit of a problem. It could destabilize the NBA. He said in the scenario that relegation would essentially mean demoting the worst one or two teams to the G League while promoting the best one or two teams from the G League to the NBA. He said, but it might disrupt our business model. And even if you took teams from the G League, they wouldn't be equipped to compete in the NBA just yet. So it'd be a problem. But in an effort to help reduce tanking, we know the NBA has been battling this for the last few years. They flattened draft lottery odds a couple years back, so now teams with the three worst regular season records have just a 14% chance of winning the lottery. We know they went to the lottery, they went to the ping pong balls. They've tried to combat this because they know NBA teams are going to cheat. They're going to try to tank and get the top pick. Still, Silver told employees that tanking will be an issue this season, and that they will be on their best guard watching for it. Now, does that mean anything's really going to come of it? Honestly, with Adam Silver in charge? I doubt it. But keep an eye on the tanking this year, because we know there are some teams that want to rebuild, and there are teams that have a ton of picks coming. We might want to keep an eye on tanking. Now, another storyline you might not realize, there are a number of NBA players this year that are on brand new teams. And the thing about knowing this, you don't want to be the guy at work or at the bar or wherever, at a party or whatever, and you're talking about, you know, Will Barton really needs to step up his game for the Denver Nuggets this year. Well, Barton, thankfully, is no longer with the Nuggets. He's now a Washington Wizard. But I want you to kind of keep in mind some of the players that have moved around this year. You don't want to go down that path of, oh yeah, I forgot, they're actually not with that team anymore. You might remember that Donovan Mitchell was traded from the Utah Jazz to Cleveland. Utah got a ton of draft picks. Speaking of those teams that have a lot of picks, the Utah Jazz have a ton of picks. And Donovan Mitchell joins a team in Cleveland that has some talent. Might be interesting to watch them. The Indiana Pacers traded oft-injured guard Malcolm Brogdon. He's now with the Boston Celtics. Bruce Brown has been with Detroit. More recently, he was with the Brooklyn Nets. He is actually now a Denver Nugget. Alec Burks spent 8 seasons in Utah. He bounced around a little, but Burks is now a Detroit Piston. You might remember Matthew Dellavedova. Remember when he was with Cleveland Cavaliers? He was there for like 6 years. And then he was with Milwaukee for their title run just a couple years ago. Matthew Dellavedova is now a Sacramento King. Speaking of the Kings, Dante DiVincenzo has spent his entire career in Sacramento. He's no longer a King. He is now a member of the Golden State Warriors. Andre Drummond left the Brooklyn Nets. He's a Chicago Bull. Danny Green is now with the Memphis Grizzlies. Patrick Beverley is a Los Angeles Laker. Rudy Gobert is with the Minnesota Timberwolves. A number of players shuffling all over the league, but there's a few to keep in mind that have switched teams recently. So, if I were picking the true contenders in the NBA this year, true teams that can actually make a run at a title, where else could I start but with the defending champion Golden State Warriors? Because the nucleus is still intact with Steph, Klay, Draymond, Andrew Wiggins, who had a way better postseason than maybe anyone expected last year. And don't forget, a very flinchy Jordan Poole is still with the Warriors as well. They did also add DiVincenzo, like we talked about, and Kayvon Looney. Hey, he's a tough guy. He's proven he's capable in the postseason. But there is a caveat with the Warriors. They did lose Otto Porter Jr. and Gary Payton Jr. And hey, those two guys, they did a lot of dirty work for that team. A lot of defense. A lot of going and getting loose balls and rebounds. So, make no mistake, the Warriors are the favorites. But with the loss of those two guys, it's not a done deal. Golden State is definitely beatable. So, next up, when you have what is probably the best player in the league right now, you've got to be a contender, right? And the Milwaukee Bucks have Giannis Antetokounmpo, and he isn't a one-man team. Because the Bucks also have Chris Middleton back from injury. They have Drew Holiday. Joe Ingles can shoot it. Hey, fear the deer. The Milwaukee Bucks will be a contender. The catch for them, kind of like last year, they need to stay healthy. Last year, they had some injuries. It really, really knocked them off. But make no mistake, the Milwaukee Bucks are a contender. At my number three contender, the Boston Celtics got hot. They went all the way to the NBA Finals last year. Remember they started the year so slow? They fired their coach. And then they got rolling. They go clear to the finals. They looked like they might even beat the Golden State Warriors. And then it all kind of fell apart. Well, they're going to be very tough again this year. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Robert Williams, 57-year-old Al Horford. Malcolm Brogdon has been added. So is Danilo Gallinari. I know, they'll both be hurt. Grant Williams is still there. Now remember, head coach Ime Udoka has been suspended for the season. And I've actually heard it's just a matter of time before he's fired. He'll be gone. Okay, so you have a really talented team. but you also have a lot of questions. Because the Celtics have turned their head coaching job over to 34-year-old Joe Mazzulla. Hey, maybe Mazzulla is the next great head coach. I don't know. Or maybe this goes a little bit poorly. They're going to have to figure out some things in Boston. Up at number four, they completely imploded last year against the Dallas Mavericks in the playoffs. But the Phoenix Suns are still going to be a load to beat in a seven-game series. They re-signed big man DeAndre Ayton, and the Suns still have Devin Booker. They still have Chris Paul. They still have Mikal Bridges. Now, they also have that owner. And there are a lot of questions about their ownership and what is going to happen. Can you pull the team from him? This is a big season for the Suns franchise. They need to have a good year this year because that franchise feels like either they're going to be really good or things could kind of spiral out of control a little bit. Next up at number five, I'm not quite as big on them as most of the so-called NBA experts, but the Los Angeles Clippers should be a contender. There's just way too much talent not to be. The Clippers have Kawhi Leonard, who should finally be healthy. They have Paul George, who should finally be healthy. And then they added John Wall this offseason, who again should finally be healthy. Hey, this all looks great on paper, right? But we're talking about the Los Angeles Clippers. Could they be a contender? Yeah, they should be. Will they? Well, that's a different story. And you're talking about three guys who do have some history of being injured. That could be a problem. The Clippers are a contender if they stay healthy and if, you know, life gets weird. Otherwise, they'll probably just be the same old Clippers. I will make the Philadelphia 76ers a contender, honestly, because they have big man Joel Embiid. But of course, they also have James Harden, who did, I might add, show up in shape this season. That was shocking in and of itself, but we also know his playoff record. However, I like the addition of Tyrese Maxey and PJ Tucker. I think the Philadelphia 76ers can be a contender over there in that East. Now, I would say right now in the NBA that Giannis, he's the best player in the league today. I would say Steph Curry, he's probably the most dangerous player in the league today. And then I would say Memphis Grizzlies star Ja Morant is the most exciting player in the league today. And for that reason, I'm going to make the Grizzlies a contender. I don't know that they truly can contend, but they do have Brandon Clark, Jaren Jackson, Dylan Brooks to go along with Ja. The Grizzlies will be fun. A true contender? Nah, I don't know. It's going to be tough. They're going to need some people to really step up, and Ja is going to have to play out of his mind better than he's ever played before. But make no mistake, that kid is more than capable. I hope he stays healthy because he goes so hard. He is so exciting to watch. I will make my final contender in the NBA this year. And no, I'm not going to name a couple of teams you might be thinking of. I'm going to make the Miami Heat my final contender. And it's mostly because of Jimmy Butler. He'll drag Miami to contention whether they want to go or not. But the Heat also have Bam Adebayo. They have Kyle Lowry. They have Tyler Hero, who might not be white chocolate. He's more, I don't know, like white carob. Not as good. Kind of more like that hippie wannabe chocolate that isn't good. But sometimes he shows up and sometimes he plays well. I'm going to make the Heat my final contender. Okay. So I know what you're thinking. Well, what about this team? And what about that team? Well, right now, I'm going to give you my list of preseason NBA pretenders. And I apologize in advance. It's nothing personal. My first pretender, though, might make some people angry. I understand. Hey, I love Luka Doncic. He is a modern-day Larry Bird. My problem with the Dallas Mavericks? Luka doesn't have much around him. Spencer Dinwiddie and Christian Wood, that's about it. I don't even know if Christian Wood is truly a guy. We're going to find out if he's a guy. The loss of Jalen Brunson is going to hurt this team, especially when they get into the postseason. He's now a Nick. So the Mavericks have less this year than they did last year. I don't know if I like those odds. I especially don't know if I like what that does to Luka physically, because I feel like he has to carry that franchise every single night. That doesn't always bode well when you get into the postseason and teams know, hey, shut down this one player or just don't let anyone else go crazy and we're going to be fine. We'll beat them. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't expect the Mavericks to fall off a cliff this year. They'll be in the playoffs. They'll be a pain. I just don't think they'll win the whole thing. I guess we'll see. I will state the obvious, and I will make the Los Angeles Lakers a pretender. They have already been blown out a few times. And understand this, they're getting beat right now. This is while they're still at full strength this year, which we know with 50-year-old LeBron and all-glass team captain Anthony Davis, that probably won't last. Here's the problem for the Lakers. They can't shoot a lick. Okay, well, you don't have to be a great shooting team to do some damage. You just have to play some defense. If you can make up for that lack of shooting with your defense, you'll be okay. But what if you can't? Because that's where this team is right now. You know, the Lakers are so weird to me. They've always run their franchise with the mentality that they are like a small market team. They hire buddies for coaches and GMs and presidents. And then they wonder, why do we go through these lean years? Why do we go through these lean patches? Well, unless you just go pay for 5 all-stars, then that's how you kind of run this. That's how it goes. The Lakers have 5 all-stars right now, just not many over the last few years. Like 10 years ago, they were all-stars, but not so much now. The Lakers are definitely a pretender. And when I look at that roster, I see LeBron, still one of the best players. I see Anthony Davis, one of the best players when he plays, when he's healthy. And then I see a lot of guys that really aren't in the top 50 conversation in the league right now. That's a bit of a problem. The Lakers are a pretender for that reason. The Brooklyn Nets are a team that I look at as being this year really, really dangerous. It might be dangerous for the opposition. It might be dangerous to themselves. Kevin Durant is still a freak of a basketball player. He is also like a stiff wind from a season-ending injury. Kyrie Irving is maybe the best finishing guard I have ever seen in my life of watching basketball. He's also horrible defensively, gives no effort whatsoever, and he could just quit basketball at literally any second to, I don't know, try to run for president or something. And then you have Ben Simmons, who is a 6'10" guard that can lead the break. He can defend. He can rebound. Or he could just decide to hide under his bed and not even play this year. The Brooklyn Nets are insanely talented. And yet, they are a bunch of often injured prima donnas. They might look great in the regular season. You might start to get sucked in and think, hey, maybe the Nets have figured some things out. They're winning games. Yeah, wait until the postseason because it's all going to go away if they make it that far, but it's all going to go away. Don't believe the hype about the Brooklyn Nets because it's always fake. The Minnesota Timberwolves decided to roll the dice this offseason. They made that big move for all-star defensive stopper Rudy Gobert, and now he teams up with Karl Anthony Towns to give the Timberwolves kind of that twin tower situation. Remember, you've got that freak of nature, Anthony Edwards. You've got much improved guard, D'Angelo Russell. Hey, the Minnesota Timberwolves might be a sneaky pick to make some noise this year. But I don't buy it. Here's the question I have. How are you going to have Towns and Gobert on the floor at the same time when teams are just going to go small ball and make those two chase 3-point shooters? That feels like a really bad fit to me. Now, there are smarter people than me that may go into Minnesota and say, hey, here's how we're going to do this. But I don't understand it. Because we know, over the past 10 years in the NBA, threes count more than twos. I feel like Minnesota is in a bad situation, and that makes them a pretender. I am going to finish my list of pretenders with a team that is near and dear to my heart and might actually be a popular pick to surprise this year after they disappointed last year. Because the Denver Nuggets have two-time most valuable player, Nikola Jokic. They now have Bruce Brown. They have Ish Smith, Bones Highland, and Aaron Gordon. But they also get back Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. after being gone all last year with injuries. Hey, the Denver Nuggets could contend. They should contend. They have started a bit slow this year, although they did beat Golden State over the weekend. But this team could really be getting their feet under them and hitting their stride in the spring in the playoffs. The Denver Nuggets could be very dangerous, so why do I have them as a pretender? I'll tell you why. Because I've been watching this franchise for decades, and I know they can't have nice things. They will find a way to fail. It's what they do. Don't say you didn't know because you heard it here first. The Denver Nuggets will pretend again this year. Okay, coming back. We are going to be making our picks for a few awards in the NBA. And our pick for the NBA Finals. I'm still struggling a little bit on that. Plus, we need to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. Halloween is already on Monday. Here's a question. Do you have that costume ready for the big party? If not, we're going to be helping you out when we get back. So let's finish up our NBA preview today, and let's take a look at a few awards that are going to be coming at the end of this year. Where could they be going? And let's start off with the Rookie of the Year. Because it's not an amazing rookie class this year. But who's going to end up being named the 2023 NBA Rookie of the Year? Because there are some good options. You know, personally, I really like Detroit Pistons guard Jaden Ivey. I think Ivey has a chance to be a star eventually. We saw the way he played in the NCAA tournament last year. That kid has some big time game. But if I were making my pick for the Rookie of the Year, I got to go with Orlando Magic top pick, Paolo Banchero. You know, I saw him play in one of the first games that Orlando played this year. He's way better than I thought he was. He looked so much more in control and so much more patient than I thought he would. Plus, he's going to get a ton of playing time. Orlando doesn't have much. I think Banchero ends up being the Rookie of the Year. Now, Coach of the Year, that's a little tougher. Because we know that it usually goes to the coach of a team that surprises us in the regular season. But they vote for this at the end of the regular season. So a lot of times what we see is they look really strong in the regular season. Then this coach wins the award. And then they get bounced because he completely got outcoached in the postseason. But it's too late. We already gave him the Coach of the Year. I want you to think about that for a second. Look good in the regular season, reach the playoffs, get completely outcoached, and sent home early in the postseason. Yeah, that sounds a lot to me like Denver Nuggets head coach Mike Malone. And for that reason, Mike Malone, you are our nomination for Coach of the Year. So, we get to the Most Valuable Player Award. And can Nuggets big man Nikola Jokic win a third most valuable player in a row? Hey, the last guy to do that was when Larry Bird won it three times in a row from 84 to 86. In fact, Bird and Chamberlain are the only guys to ever win it three times in a row. Wilt did it from 66 to 68. But remember what I've told you before. It isn't that a guy isn't the most valuable player. It's that the writers don't feel like coming up with a new angle on the same story. And because they're lazy, they'll vote for a new story. So it's not that Michael Jordan didn't deserve to win three MVPs in a row. We all know he did. It's that NBA writers decided, you know what, let's give it to Karl Malone this year. Let's give it to Charles Barkley this year. Even though we all knew Michael Jordan was the MVP, no questions asked. but that's not how writers work. As a writer, I can attest to this, writers are generally lazy. So, can Nikola Jokic win it for a third time in a row? No. No, he cannot. Because writers don't want to write that story. Plus, doesn't it feel like they're already working on who they want to give it to? Like, doesn't it feel like NBA writers are already kind of pushing for Luka Doncic, maybe Joel Embiid? Yeah, for that reason, I'm going to make my MVP this year Luka Doncic. With less talent around him, I think he's going to have to carry them even more. I think that's going to be an awful lot, but I think he's going to carry a big, big load. And for that reason, Luka, I am going to name as my prediction for league MVP. So, who is my pick for those NBA finals? Hey, it's only October. That is looking way, way ahead into the crystal ball, but sometimes we have to do these things. In my line of work, sometimes I got to peek into that crystal ball and say, okay, here's what's going to happen. Now, to be fair, we can't possibly predict if there's going to be injuries or trades. Maybe your best player just decides they no longer want to play basketball. We joke about it, but it happens quite a bit in the NBA. Not really sure why, but it does. When I look at the NBA right now, who's going to go to the NBA Finals? Well, coming out of the East, I'm going to go with those Milwaukee Bucks. They have to stay healthy, like I said earlier, but I do like their chances if they can stay healthy. So I'm going to go Milwaukee out of the East. And in the West, I don't know. I feel like Golden State staying healthy is a very, very tenuous proposition. I like Denver, obviously. They're my hometown team, but I know Denver. They certainly don't go to NBA Finals in 55 years or whatever it is. They've never even been to an NBA Finals, so I can't go with Denver. I don't trust the Clippers. I guess I'm going to have to go with a team that is dealing with a ton of doubt, a ton of front office distractions, and a team that fully imploded last year. But I'm going to say the Phoenix Suns pull together and make a run. But that they didn't fall short to the Milwaukee Bucks in the finals again, just like they did 2 years ago. There's your pick from the Daily Dose, Bucks versus Suns in the 2023 NBA Finals. Now, as we do so many weeks here at the Daily Dose, we need to get to our Daily Dose top five.
Five!
Yes, I know. This isn't actually Halloween week just yet. But with Halloween falling on next Monday, we don't do another show until after Halloween is over. So we might be just a tiny bit early, but Halloween is Monday. And here's the question that I have for you today. Are you going to parties? Are you going to dress up? Are you going to take your kids trick-or-treating or maybe even go trick-or-treating yourself? Well, if so, you might be on the hunt for a costume in 2022, and as we are in the sports business, we try to provide you with some help on a sports-themed costume. So without further ado, like we do most every single year, we are bringing you our Daily Dose Top 5 Sports-Themed Halloween Costumes for 2022. Here we go. We start off at number 5. And we have a very, very simple costume for you. You could wear some trunks if you want. Maybe you want to wear some boxing gloves. But here's the key. Just walk around your party knocking folks out at will. Punch people in the face. Kick them in the crotch if you want. Now, if you can afford a Shrek donkey mask.
You know what else everybody like? Parfait. Have you ever met a person you say, hey, let's get some parfaits? They say, hell no, I don't like no parfaits. Parfaits are delicious.
It's going to help your costume. No, you're not some lunatic MMA fighter or WWE wrestler. You are Golden State Warriors forward Draymond Green, because not only can you punch people in the face, you won't even get punished or disciplined in any way for it. Now, that's not a bad gig if you can get it. Draymond Green comes in today at number 5. So we arrive at number 4. and we get to another very, very easy costume. See, here's the thing about our Daily Dose annual Halloween costumes. We don't just give you a costume. We keep them easy. We keep them inexpensive. We keep them creative. Here's our next costume. Go get yourself a dog collar. You could even get yourself a leash and put them on. Now, maybe you paint your nose. Maybe you put on some fake ears or a fake tail. Pretty easy, right? But for an added bonus, keep a bone or maybe some steak around for you to chew on. And then, as you're chewing on them, begin choking on that steak or that bone. Are you just a feral dog, like yakking on a bone?
What's wrong with the dog?
Oh, he's just yakking on a bone. He got it up.
No, of course not. You are the Los Angeles Dodgers every single year in the Major League Baseball postseason. Remember this season, the Dodgers won a crazy 111 games. And then in the playoffs, they didn't just get beat. Because we said in our Major League Baseball playoff preview, hey, the Dodgers could be beat. They were very top-heavy in that lineup, and they were very top-heavy with their pitching. But it wasn't just that they got beaten. We said that might happen. They got taken to the woodshed by the San Diego Padres in the divisional round. And we know the Padres weren't the end-all, be-all. The Dodgers choked again in a big way. And for that reason, we have a very simple costume for you this year for Halloween. The LA Dodgers come in today at number 4. Okay, so like I said, every year we do our Halloween costumes here at the Dose. And I try to keep them simple. I try to keep them easy. I try to keep them inexpensive. This next one at number 3, there's a little more involved, I'm not going to lie. You're going to need to build yourself some things, and you're going to have to maybe spend a little bit of money. Here's what you need to do. You need to build yourself a small jail cell. Here's the twist. You're going to need to be inside it. So you need to make it lightweight, but you need to have bars all the way around it. Cut some leg holes in it so you can wear it and you can walk around in it. But you're going to need to build yourself a small jail cell that you wear around. You are the prisoner in jail. Here's the twist. I want you to put either tin foil or maybe blackout paper on the inside of the bars all the way around so that no one can see you in the jail cell. Is this some sort of political statement about kids in cages down at America's southern border or something? No. You are WNBA basketball player Brittany Griner. You're in jail in Russia and no one can see you. So no one really cares. Brittany Griner comes in today on our Halloween costumes at number 3. We arrive at the number 2 sports-themed Halloween costume for 2022, and we go with a very, very easy one. Hey, we don't want you to have to go out and buy expensive props or masks or items or any of that stuff. You might be on a budget, we realize that, but this is a piece of cake. You go to a party store. You buy some paper streamers in all different colors. You cut them up. You tape them all over yourself. Then, you fill your pockets with some of your favorite Halloween candy, and you give your partygoers a stick to hit you with. A very simple piñata, right? Well, it would also help if you throw on a number 3 Denver Broncos jersey, because then you're not even a piñata. You're Broncos quarterback Russell Wilson. My guy is taking a real beating lately, isn't he? I get some of it. He hasn't been very good. He's no doubt pressing. He's trying too hard. But that offense is a mess. That coaching staff has been a mess. The play calling has been a mess. He hasn't gotten a whole lot of help from his teammates. But wow. Folks around the world have been piling on Russ. And it feels kind of personal, doesn't it? Not sure what that's about. I have some suspicions. But I'm not sure what that's about. But if you would like to go to your party, get beat with a stick, and throw out some candy. Hey, a Russell Wilson costume is not that hard for you. And that comes in today at number 2. So we arrive at our number 1 entry for our 2022 Daily Dose Halloween costume idea. And we arrive at one that might be a little more work. But trust me, you can do this. I have faith in you. Hear me out. You walk in with a bag full of bricks. You have a wild, crazy, unkept beard. And you have a book that you're carrying around, but you've never even read it. You're shouting political opinions to anyone who will listen. They don't have to make sense. Don't worry about that. Just yell them out. Yell out a political opinion here and there. Lob up one of your bricks now and then while acting like you're reading that book. And we all know full well you aren't reading that book at all. Are you just some homeless nut? Of course not. You're Los Angeles Lakers superstar LeBron James. Did you see his three-pointer from the logo over the weekend on Sunday? He's always dropping political knowledge. He's always got that book he's never bothered to fully read. Come on, LeBron James at number one. You had to know that was coming, right? Hey, next week on The Dose, do you realize that we are already halfway through the college football season? Isn't it gone insanely fast? Well, what have we learned so far? There have been a ton of surprises. There have been a number of disappointments. We will be recapping what has already been a wild college football season so far and what should just continue to get crazier as we go further into that college football season. So be sure you stop by the Daily Dose and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out the new things that are going up there every week. But most of all, thank you so much for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
Oh, he's just yakking on a bone. He got it up.